Christmas is still a month away. Today is December 4th. We still have 2 more Sundays and 3 more midweek services before the big day. So why the excitement? Why the hope? According to dictionary.com, hope is the feeling that what is wanted can be had, or that events will turn out for the best. Some of you younger members may know what that is all about. Again, if you went shopping with your parents and you saw that they picked something up that you wanted, you know that you're going to get that gift, but you have to wait right now. You have to wait until the big day. You have to wait till Christmas to get that gift. You know that you will get it, but it's a matter of time. Others of you know what it is to hope that things will turn out for the best. You've had your fair share of scrapes, and you've seen how God has been there with you through them and has pulled you through them. Hope is one of the big three: faith, hope, and love. And hope is also produced by character, which comes from endurance. Each of these are learned through suffering. But again, the end result that we receive is hope. And that hope does not and will not put us to shame. It is fitting to hear about hope today because that is the purpose of Advent, the season that we're in. It is a season of hope. We're not to the red and green of Christmas yet, or if you're following the liturgical garments, we're not to the white of Christmas yet. We're still in the blue of hope. We're in the blue of Advent. With that in mind, the epistle text for today makes sense too, because it is also all about hope. St. Paul writes to a church to unite the Jewish and Gentile converts in the hope that they have received in the Messiah who has come. Paul writes, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." Here, Paul calls God the God of encouragement and endurance. But is God only the God of those things to those who believe? When Paul wrote his letter, he was addressing the Christians who had formerly been practicing Judaism. These Christians were not always so welcoming to their Gentile convert fellow believers. So Paul reminds them that God had had patience with them and their conversion to the hope that they have in Christ. God had not abandoned them in their sin, and had instead brought them patiently through His Word and through baptism into faith in His Son, the Messiah who had come. In the same way, then, that Paul encourages these Jewish Christian converts to welcome the Gentile converts who are coming to faith in Christ, that they might have that same hope in the Messiah. Today, most, if not all of you, are like me, that you are lifelong members. And not only lifelong members, but Gentiles. You did not start out as a Jew. You did not start out in Judaism. Even though you may be Gentile converts, Paul's letter, though, still applies to each of you and to me as well. How patient are you with those who have only recently come to faith in Christ and the Savior? Do you show the same patience in their learning the same faiths and the same doctrines that you learn in catechism classes? Do you show the same patience that God showed you as you learned the doctrine of our faith? God welcomed you into the faith with open arms. He did not withhold His Word from you or withhold you from the waters of baptism, but instead welcomed you through them, even before you could grasp what was going on. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Although Paul writes these words about the Old Testament Scriptures, they also apply to his own letter. His letter to the Romans, the other epistles, the book of Revelation and the Gospels, and yes, the Old Testament, they were all written for our instruction and that we might have hope in the Messiah who was to come and who has come. They were written, as Paul mentioned, to the Romans so that we might have hope. And Paul continues, "For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised, that is, the Jewish converts, to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy." Now, after this quote, Paul makes several quotes to Old Testament texts. He mentions four different passages in the Old Testament referring to how God would welcome even the Gentiles into the faith. Three of these verses he used to show prophesy a time for the Gentiles to sing hymns of joy at being welcomed by God. But the fourth tells why they can be joyful. The hope that the Gentiles would have in God's Messiah. Paul was very good at tying together loose ends and tying everything together, and this particular section is a good example of that. He reminds his Jewish Christian converts, his brothers and sisters, of the importance of the Old Testament writings. And he not only tells them of the importance of those writings, but then he also uses those same writings to encourage them to show love and patience toward their Gentile brothers and sisters. Today we have hope for many things. We hope for gifts on Christmas. We hope for the cure to cancer and other bodily ailments and diseases. But as Paul has shown us through his letter, our ultimate hope lies in God's Messiah. Not that the other ones aren't important, they most certainly are. But our ultimate hope is in the Christ. That's what he is referring to when he quotes from Isaiah that the root of Jesse will come. The root of Jesse is God's Messiah, who had been born in that lowly manger and who would go to his death for his people, both the lifelong members of his kingdom as well as the recent converts. Neither the Jewish Christians or the Gentile Christians had deserved any of God's mercy, and neither do we. None of us loves our neighbor as we should, which is as we love ourselves. None of us loves God with our whole heart and mind and with all of our being and all of the ways that we should, even with the bounty of hope that he has given to us. How often do you show impatience to those around you, to recent converts, or perhaps even shopping in the shopping centers? And granted, all of them may not be recent converts, or they may not even be lifelong Christians, but are they not still your neighbors in this world? Yet it was for those very reasons that God sent his Messiah into the world. He sent him so that you might have hope. His Messiah came to be born of a virgin and lived and died so that you might have the forgiveness of sins. And that same Messiah was raised from the very dead so that you might have hope. All of you, the lifelong convert, the lifelong believers and the recent converts. And so Paul concludes, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." Brothers and sisters in Christ, we share that hope that God has given to us. It is the hope that we do not deserve, but which God, our Heavenly Father, was pleased to give us, to give to you. Whether you have believed your entire life or only began your walk in faith over the last year, God, your Heavenly Father, was pleased to give you that hope. Now, some of you may be wondering, how does any of this tie into Advent? How does any of this tie into the Christmas that is to come? The season of Advent, which is the preparation for the Messiah's coming. But it's not actually that far of a stretch when you consider the word from the angel concerning the Messiah's arrival. The angel told the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." That Savior was and is God's Messiah. And his appearing brings joy and peace to all the people, not just lifelong members and not just recent converts. It is a joy for all people. But it is a joy which can only be received through faith. Even more than that, the appearing of the Messiah brings joy and peace to all people. It's just that some have not heard. Today and every day, we can share that gospel good news with our neighbors in this world. The news of the Messiah's arrival so many years ago. His arrival brings hope for this season and for every season. For lifelong members and for recent converts. For those who have already heard and for those who will. Because the Messiah came to bring forgiveness of sins. So as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. The root of Jesse, the Messiah, has come. This season, we sing his praises in hope. In Jesus' name, amen.